You are listening to the weekly sermon from the Canton United Methodist Church in Canton, South Dakota. We're a church that strives to make disciples of Jesus Christ who make a difference. To learn more, visit us at cantonsdumc.org. And now, here's Pastor Clay.
Our scripture this morning comes to us from two different places. First, from Psalm 118. We'll be reading verses 1 and 2, and then verses 19 through 25. Of these words of the Hebrew people, then we're going to jump over to the Gospel of Mark in chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. If you want to follow along with today's reading in the Pew Bibles, our Old Testament reading is on page 675 of the Old Testament, and our New Testament reading is on page 64 in the New Testament. So let's go ahead and give our attention to God's Word today. Give thanks to the Lord because he is good and his love is eternal. Let the people of Israel say his love is eternal. Open to me the gates of the temple. I will go in and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. Only the righteous can come in. I praise you, Lord, because you heard me, because you have given me victory. The stone which the builders rejected as worthless turned out to be the most important of all. This was done by the Lord, and what a wonderful sight it is. This is the day of the Lord's victory. Let us be happy. Let us celebrate. Save us, Lord, save us. Give us success, O Lord. Then jumping over to the Gospel of Mark in chapter 11. As Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem near the towns of Bethpage and Bethany, they came to the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of his disciples on ahead with these instructions. Go to the village there ahead of you. As soon as you get there, you will find a colt tied up that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If someone asks you why you are doing that, tell him that the master needs it and will send it back at once. So they went and found a colt out in the street, tied to the door of a house. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders asked them, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered just as Jesus had told them, and the men let them go. The disciples brought the colt to Jesus, threw their cloaks over the animal, and Jesus got on. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches in the field and spread them on the road. The people who were in front and those who followed behind began to shout, "Praise God! God bless him who comes in the name of the Lord! God bless the coming kingdom of the King David, our Father! Praise be to God!" Jesus entered Jerusalem, went into the temple, and looked around at everything. But since it was already late in the day, he went out to Bethany with the 12 disciples. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Holy and gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be holy and acceptable to you. For you, O God, are our rock, and you are our Redeemer. And we give you thanks for who you are as we say together, Amen. So today is a day of a festival. Today is a parade type of a day. And any time that I think about a parade or any time that I attend a parade, I am transported back to my very favorite former activity, that being marching band. I've told you that I'm an absolute nerd. Do you believe me yet? I'm a marching band kid. I will never not be a marching band kid. But I think back to my freshman year of college at Northern State University. I had the opportunity of being a part of the Northern State University Marching Wolves, and it just so happened to be that my freshman year was the year that the marching band had been invited to go play in Honolulu, Hawaii. Oh no, I got to go to Hawaii for marching band. But it wasn't just a trip. We had to do some performances along the way. So we did standstill performances at the USS Missouri Battleship Museum, at the USS Arizona, the Pearl Harbor Memorial. And it all culminated by us marching in the Waikiki Holiday Parade, which was a 1.5-mile hike march down Kalakulua Avenue in Honolulu, Hawaii. And the part that stands out the most to me from that, the thing that makes me smile every time I think about it, was the fact that this crowd that had no idea who we were was absolutely with us. They were so into it. They were dancing and laughing and cheering along with us as we, the Northern State University drumline, played what we called the NSU Yell Cadence. This was a portion of our drum cadence where the entire band and anyone by us would just shout out and spell out NSU. And these people didn't know us from anybody. But there they were, chanting along with us, having the time of their lives. And unless the people in the crowd came with us or they had a very niche appreciation for NCAA Division II athletics, they had no idea who we were. But it didn't seem to matter. They were yelling and screaming and cheering for the second best collegiate marching band in South Dakota. It was the best. But it makes me think of the crowd that day in Jerusalem, and I know things were different. The crowd as Jesus entered Jerusalem was not shouting the NSU yell cadence. I can almost guarantee that. But they were still yelling out. They were still cheering. They were still crying out to God. And what I find so interesting is that the crowd that we read about in Mark 11, this group of people that traveled with Jesus and laid down their cloaks and cut branches off of trees, they would have been crying out the same words as Psalm 118. This would have been their cry. This would have been their call. Because Psalm 18 is a ceremonial psalm. If you were with us last week, you know we talked about Psalm 130, and Psalm 130 was a special psalm used as the people of God made their initial entrance into Jerusalem, called a psalm of ascent. And Psalm 18 is a festival psalm. Psalm 118 is for a special time of praise. It is the last in a set of psalms called the Hallel, a set of psalms that are used to rehearse and to retell the story of Israel's exodus from Egypt. And it's a way for the people of God to proclaim their belief based on all of Israel's history and all of God's faithfulness that God will save any and all people who cry out to God in order to be saved. The people of God knew this reality. The people of God knew this truth because of what they had experienced through the Passover and what they had experienced as they were delivered into the promised land and what they had experienced through all of God's dealings with God's people. And since Jesus' triumphant entry happened during the Passover, where this psalm would have been used, these words would have been on their heart and on their mind. Because at this point in Jesus' ministry, some people had started to come to understand who Jesus was. They started to grasp that Jesus is the Messiah. And that goes beyond the initial 12 and those that followed Jesus. They started to realize who Jesus was. And the people of God were looking to Jesus. The people of God were entering the city of God. And they were entering into all of this excitement and all of this hustle and all of this bustle. Like I said, they were cutting palm branches off of the trees and throwing cloaks on the road. And they were shouting their hosannas and shouting their praises to Jesus. And this would have included these words from Psalm 118. Open to me the gates of the temple. Let me go in and let me give thanks to God. And a small parade breaks out. A festival breaks out. And I am confident that there was no marching band in this parade that we're talking about. In this parade that we celebrate today. But as people recognized Jesus and as people celebrated Jesus, I can't help but wonder if certain people were not just swept up in the fervor, not just swept up in the excitement. I can't help but wonder if people ended up cheering for someone that they didn't actually know. And don't mishear me. I know and I believe that there are people outside of the initial 12 and the numerous women that traveled with Jesus who had come to know Jesus as the Messiah, come to know Jesus as a Savior. I know that there were some on that day that were crying out because they knew who Jesus was. Because they knew that Jesus was a part of God's mighty and saving acts made known through history. But I just can't help but wonder if some of those people in the crowd were cheering for Jesus like a random stranger in Honolulu cheering for Northern State University. Did they have any idea what they were doing? I wonder if there were people in the crowd shouting Hosanna like an overhyped Polynesian shouting NSU along with our drumline. These words from Israel's scripture give us the context, and they help us to deeper, more fully understand how God operates. And while I firmly believe that Psalm 118 has a message and has an impact that stands distinct from the person of Jesus, these words do happen to serve our own purpose and do become this link from the Old to the New Testament, do become this link from the Old Covenant to the New Covenant, do become this link from God's promises to the fulfillment of sending a Messiah. There are strong allusions to Jesus, which, given the week that we're about to walk through together, there are words that really deserve our attention. And more than that, our appreciation. After the psalmist gives the people of God these words of general praise for God's provision, the psalm pivots almost abruptly to the idea that there is a stone that the people have rejected that becomes a cornerstone. That the stone that the builders rejected turns out to be the most important stone after all. And this harkens back to Israel's history, because in Israel's history they were treated as unimportant. In Egypt they were seen as nothing more than cheap labor. But yet they were invaluable to God. But as we hear these words, it is almost impossible for us to miss the link that they have to Jesus. Because as we think about how Jesus was treated on that day of entry, and how Jesus will be treated throughout the entire rest of the week, and how all of it will change so drastically, it is clear that Jesus is one who is rejected. And not to peek too far forward into the story, but he is also the one that becomes the most important, because after all, Jesus is the whole reason why we're even here today. We are here because of Jesus. We're here because Jesus is important in our lives, and we use this space to return our thanks and to grow deeper in our appreciation and then be empowered to go forth to share Jesus' impact so that all may know who Jesus is. The psalmist also confidently proclaims that God will save the speaker and God will save all who call on God's name, because that's how God has operated. It is God who saved the people over and over and over again. It is God who sent Moses to end their enslavement in Egypt. It was God who raised up judges and kings for these people so that they would be guided. And it was God who faithfully welcomed the people back into covenantal relationship when they finally realized just how far off they had become. And for we who look to Jesus in these words, it's impossible for us to miss the connection, because it is Jesus who we have come to know as our Savior. It is Jesus who saved literal lives in the Gospels. It is Jesus that healed infirmities that made life more difficult. It was Jesus who defended those that had little agency to advocate on their own behalf. It is Jesus who is our Savior because he was willing to walk the road that we will rehearse this week. This painful and lonely road that leads us to his cross, that leads us to his death, and that leads us to greater glory in his resurrection. But today is a day for us to remember Jesus. This is a week for us to learn more about Jesus. This is a time for us to give thanks to God, for the Lord is good. And through Jesus, we know that his steadfast love endures forever. Let the people of God say so. Today is a day for us to cry Hosanna and to reflect on the ways that God has saved us through our lives. Today is a day to rehearse and remember not just the Exodus, but all of God's mighty and saving acts. In the psalm, God's people were calling out for God to save them, and in Jesus, that is exactly what God did. May we use this week to know Jesus better so that we can know who we're cheering for by the end of the week. We can know who we're cheering for on Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday and through the rest of our lives. It will not be some random college marching down the street. It will not be some random 14 seed that got beat last night in the tournament. It'll be the Messiah that God sent to us, the one who comes in the name of the Lord, Jesus our Christ. Would you pray with me? Loving Jesus, we just give you thanks for the way that you move and work and operate. We give you thanks for the events of this week that lead us to this deeper understanding of who you are and an even deeper celebration because you are who you are. May we fully embrace this time, fully use this time to draw close to you and never be the same because we have just been so compelled by your work on our behalf. In your name we pray. Amen. Thanks for listening to this week's sermon from the Canton United Methodist Church. Join us in person or online at 10 o'clock every Sunday morning for worship. And now go in peace and serve the Lord.
I want to encourage you after the message to head over to our YouTube channel and click the subscribe button. Over on YouTube, you will find videos of our entire worship service, a video cast of our weekly Cut for Time conversation with Pastor Clay and Eric, songs from our praise band One Way Up, and a bunch of other great things as well. Just search for Canton United Methodist Church. It would mean a lot to have you subscribe.